This is the Holland Assets Podcast, where we show you how to start and run your own trucking company. Ever wanted to go out on your own? Follow Chris as he goes through the highs and lows of running on his own authority. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Holland Assets Podcast. This is episode number 151. Yeah, we're going to be talking about trucking, but primarily we're going to be talking about marshmallows. You know, I'm Craig, your host. Over there, he's Chris. How's it going, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, a little hungrier now. Yeah,
I didn't know you had such a craving for marshmallows.
You know, okay. Look, Chris, I'm 38 years old. Peeps are one of the most disgusting things on the planet to me right now.
I agree.
However, I do remember being a younger, you know, tyke, shall we say, and just loving
them. Thinking marshmallows.
Oh, yeah.
Pure sugar.
Absolutely. What's not to love when you're eight, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to be talking about eating marshmallows. But why is that? Chris, what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk a little bit about, it's called the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment or Test. It was by a psychiatrist, Walter Mischel. And we'll get into that.
It's classic.
Yeah.
It is
a classic. It's a long time study.
Yeah, they started doing this back in the 70s, I think, right?
Yep.
Okay.
First test, the test we're going to talk about, the marshmallow test, happened in 72, but there were a few precursor tests that I think started in 1970, so before you or I were born.
Barely, Chris. okay, so before we get to all that, I'll just remind everybody to go to hollandassetsllc.com for full show notes, past episodes. You can find links to... Holland Assets Academy, if you go to the episode show notes. I'll link to that again. And if you don't know what that is, well, I guess you haven't been keeping up. So hop to it. Listen to the last few episodes and you'll hear more about that. And I'm sure we're going to be talking more about that later. Lastly, I'll remind you to go to motorcarrierhq.com where you can find the tools, the tips, and the people who can help you make the leap from an employee driver to an owner-operator and possibly beyond, much like Chris has done. So, and you can also get merch. Look at Chris's shirt. Look at that beauty. Oh, my word.
You know what else is kind of cool?
What?
Between this episode and the next episode, we're going to hit a milestone.
Yeah. Will that damage the truck or?
Not that kind of.
Okay.
No, not that kind of hit.
Okay.
5 years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. We've been recording for more than 5 years now, but the first load that I took will happen 5 years ago.
Wow. Is that right? That.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking about that on the way in and looked it up and it was picked it up on April 16th, 2019.
Okay. Holy smokes. That's really cool. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of fun to put something in perspective where if you picture yourself 5 years from now and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be an owner operator. I want to build a fleet of trucks. And you're thinking in 5 years, could I have 11 trucks on the road? Apparently the answer is yes. Even with the BS that was 2023, you can do it. So, wow. Okay. 5 years. Anything else you want to say on the subject of that mad anniversary?
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Chris. So marshmallows.
Before we get to marshmallows, I have one other thing I want to talk a little bit about. Yeah. Walmart. So
how many truckers' eyes just rolled into the back of their head?
All of us, because, you know, Walmart, they're the million bajillion pound gorilla out there, right? They kind of get to do whatever the heck it is that they want to do. We just got, we got notification that they're making a change.
Oh,
and it's going to affect us, and it's going to affect a bunch of other people. So when we first started, you know, shortly after we first started buying our first new brand new trailers, I think our second or third brand new trailer, the salesperson comes to us and, hey, they've got this kind of new thing that's cool. So in a reefer trailer, there is the reefer unit, right? And then there's essentially ducting that kind of helps carry the air from the front of the trailer to the back of the trailer.
Right.
It's called a chute. And they, you know, back then they said it came with, you could get a split chute. So traditionally the chutes have kind of gone, you know, one big chute just down the middle of the reefer unit. Well, the split chutes kind of go off to the side and go up into the corners. So there's two of them, and they go into the corners of the reefer trailer. And supposedly the whole theory was these are better chutes. They help circulate the air better and everything. Well, Walmart apparently has noticed over the last few years that they get higher rejections on reefer trailers with split chutes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So as of May, I think it's May 1st of this year, they're no longer going to accept produce or meat
from split chute trailers. Really?
Yeah. So we have to go in and change out all of our chutes. Well, not all of them. I think we had seven or eight of our 11 trailers that that needed to be switched out.
Okay, that sucks.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. But have
you ever had any issues in your trucks with this?
I mean, every once in a while you'll have stuff that gets rejected. It's never been because of anything we've done.
Right.
It's usually like when you've got produce, they don't like the quality of it. It's not clean enough, or it's already kind of started to decay.
Right.
So you'll get, I don't think we've ever had a full truckload of produce get rejected, but we've had
portions
where pallets or, you know, something gets rejected.
Yeah.
That happens.
What else were you going to say about it?
It's actually not as bad as it sounds. Like when we first started looking into this, we're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be ridiculous. But it's actually only costing us about, I'm trying to remember. It's right around $400-$450
per trailer.
So not the end of the world. It's better than a couple thousand bucks per trailer.
Right. There are times when you look at your 11 truck fleet and you're really, really glad it's not 10,000 trucks, right?
Yeah. So we've kind of tried to be proactive. We've already got probably three or four of those switched out. They're pretty easy. It's an hour long job. You can typically just go in and get it done. And so we're trying to get ahead of the curve, because if everybody else in the world has to switch out all their split chutes too, it's going to cause a bottleneck. So just be aware of that. If you've got a reefer trailer, you might want to consider doing that.
Look at that. Oh, man. Practical information from Chris. All right. Thanks, Chris. Now can we talk about marshmallows?
Now let's talk about marshmallows.
All right. So what was his name? Walter Michel?
Yeah.
1972. Yep. So, all right. So let's set it up. Tell me about what the marshmallow test is for those who don't know it.
So basically the way the marshmallow test works is they brought in a bunch of little kids, and these are kids median age around 4.5 years old. So I think the range was 3.5 to 5.5, but the median age was 4.5. And they would bring him into a room, sit him down, and I'm just telling the quick, easy version of this, at a table, nothing else really in the room, no other distractions. And they'd put a marshmallow in front of him and say, you can have this marshmallow, you can eat it now. Or if you wait 15 minutes, you can have two marshmallows. And so then they'd video the kids, you know, see kind of what happened. And if you get bored, go and kind of look this up. There's lots of YouTube videos on it, and you know, you can see the kids
fidgeting
and just complete agony trying to hold back and not eat the marshmallows.
Yeah.
And so they'd kind of measure that, and they're you know, trying to figure out, you know, the kids' kind of self-control and willpower. And to make a long story short, I've said it again.
It's your catchphrase. Well, we need that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. They continued this study. You know, they'd go back and they'd visit the kids at different periods in their life and see what the you know, kind of see
how their
roughly
life is going.
How their life's going, yeah, how successful they are. And he came to the determination that the kids with higher levels of willpower at that young age of roughly 4.5 years old were more successful later on the life. So the kids who could resist that immediate gratification tended to be more successful in life. Now, there's been a lot of other studies that have kind of come around with, you know, alongside this study, where they've studied the study, they've done other studies to try to replicate it. And there's a lot of, I don't know if you call it controversy around it, but there's you know, there's people that say, well, you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt, it's or not it's not true, or it is true. And so, you know, a couple things I want to talk a little bit about that's really interesting is, you know, one of the things that they've kind of looked at is, you know, a lot of it has to do with your situation in life as well. So for example, there's a study that shows, that says it's kind of really that particular thing holds true for people that are middle class and upper class, but younger, you know, people that are you know, lived a more scarce life, that doesn't hold true because they're more likely to, you know, take something that they've got now rather than risk getting something else different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? So, and another thing that kind of goes along with that too, is a lot of the times they've learned to mistrust promises. You know, if you live in a situation where you can't trust that, okay, somebody has told me that I'll get two marshmallows if I just wait 15 minutes. Well, my experience in life has shown that when I trust somebody that tells me something like that, it doesn't come through. And so, you know, people in those kind of situations are going to be more likely to take the one just because of like what they've learned in life.
Right. A bird in the hand.
Yep. There's worth two in the bush.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's some things like that. Let's see what else.
So let me ask you this, Chris, would you have passed this test when you were a little kid?
That's a good question. I think I probably would have because I'm hard-headed, right? I'm stubborn. And so I probably would have.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't think I would have.
No, you'd eat the marshmallow?
Probably. I mean, I've got some stories of myself as a dumbass kid trying to, you know, pull the wool over my parents' eyes, you know, and like get the thing I want now.
In the couch.
Well, it was a trundle bed, Chris.
It's a really interesting study. And another thing that another one of these kind of side studies talked a little bit about was that, you know, what happened in those kids' lives early on didn't necessarily define what they were going to be later on in life. So there were some kids that ate the marshmallows right away that were still successful. You know, it wasn't like a set predetermination. You eat the marshmallow early on, you're going to struggle in life. Anyway, so whether you believe the study or not, there's a lot of good lessons that we can kind of learn from it and some things that are kind of talking points. And so that's kind of what I want to talk about today and really talk about what can we learn from this experience that also correlates to trucking and, you know, specifically business ownership.
Yeah, I mean, immediately it's calling into my mind some of the early episodes of this show, but it's a theme that you've hit over the years, 5 years apparently, the delayed gratification. No, you don't need that pickup truck right now. It can wait. You know, like as soon as you have a profitable month, you shouldn't go out and, you know, blow all that cash on whatever the new toy is that you want, right?
Yep.
So we've been talking about some of this stuff, I imagine, for a long time, right?
We have. And that's really kind of, I just want to emphasize really some of the stuff that we've already talked about. So, you know, talking about self-control, there's a lot of different ways we can exhibit self-control. I mean, one of the things, you know, there's some things that I feel like I'm really good at with self-control, other things that I'm not. So, you know, I'm self-control. I'm really good at not losing my temper, in, you know, all kinds of professional settings. It takes a lot for me to kind of get hot-headed about something, you know, whether it's in business or my life in the military or anything else. But you know, when it's at home with my kids, like I've got a pretty short fuse.
Really?
Yeah. I can kind of go off the handle on my kids, unfortunately, faster than I would in other situations. So it's kind of interesting as I've thought a little bit about this, that in some situations, I feel like I'm really good at self-control. Other situations, not so much.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm having a tough time thinking through, basically I'm having a tough time with the study as I'm thinking about the idea of willpower. and going, you know, when you're 4.5, come on, you know, like this isn't determinative for the rest of your life.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that at the end. Cause I completely agree with that. And I think that's kind of one of the things some of these side studies are showing. And I'm going to put some links in the notes to some of these other studies so that you can, in the show notes or on HollandAssetsLLC.com, you'll be able to see some of the other viewpoints.
Right. Do your own research.
Do your own
right?
research.
Yeah. Welcome to the Joe Rogan podcast or whatever it's called. I don't know.
Yeah, but think about like self-control. There's a lot of situations in trucking where self-control kind of, I think, helps with your success, you know, and a few of them kind of that come to mind to me are situations where, you know, you have a broker or shipper that kind of disappoints you or lets you down. Say you end up waiting at a shipper longer than you're supposed to, and they don't pay you detention. And, you know, that gets to be an area and a situation where it's really easy to lose self-control. But typically if you do that and you fly off the handle about something, you're going to damage that relationship. And that's the last thing you want to do. So, you know, using and exercising that self-control, well, in a short-term situation to get you through a situation that's challenging like that will help you later on down the road when you need to use that relationship again because, you know, you use your self-control, you haven't damaged it.
Right. Okay. All right. So the other word that's often associated with the marshmallow test, you mentioned self-control, but there's willpower as well. What's the difference between the two? Because I should mention, I'm very familiar with this study.
You know, that's a good question. You may have some more insight, but kind of one of the things that I look about it and kind of one of the things I think to me, self-control is a little bit more reactive to a situation where willpower is a little bit more, you know, kind of proactive. You're more doing than you are reacting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay. All right. That does make sense. Because I got to say, when I think about myself, I self-control, sure, I'm an adult. I have some decent measure of it, right? You kind of have to. But it's not necessarily a strength of mine. Willpower, on the other hand, as defined by you just now, probably more of a strength. Another podcast that I run, we just celebrated 10 years. So ha ha ha, Chris. But I remember talking to the guy that I do the podcast with. This would have been 3 or 4 years ago. And we were kind of marveling at how close we were getting to 10 years. And he said this show would have ended after about 8 months if you didn't have the willpower that you do. It was just sheer force of will that kept the show going until it became successful. And I thought, I've never thought of myself as, you know, like this force of will, which sounds a little more grandiose than maybe what we're talking about. But there's something there where, you know, I'm able to make something happen just by, well, no, that's all garbagey woo-woo stuff. I was going to say make something happen just by wanting it, but I wanted it enough to make it happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, you say God move a mountain and he hands you a shovel, right? That's your willpower.
Yeah. So I agree with that. And like there's a lot of situations in trucking where we have to use willpower. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that, what you were talking about. You know, in the economy right now, the way the trucking industry is right now, we've talked about this a ton. It's tough right now. And so it takes a high level of willpower to kind of work through that because it's a constant grind and it's a grind without like huge benefits, right? It's easier to grind through an issue or a challenge if you're also getting good benefits from it. But right now, you know, profitability is a lot of, you know, fairly low. It's not like you're lining your pockets as you're grinding through getting right. through this. It's, you know, you're grinding through and there's not like immediate gratification for it.
So they really do go hand in hand where you have to have the willpower you have to have the self-control to delay your gratification, right? But you have to have the willpower to maybe take the long view and say like this, if I keep going, if I take one more step and then another step and another step. Eventually I'll climb the mountain, right? Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes you just, you know, you have to take it a day at a time, a week at a time, a month at a time, you know, and just plug away at it, right? Chip away.
Right. And save your money, folks.
Yep. That's another good point about willpower is save. And right now, again, that's kind of hard to do, you know, in this kind of a market. But you know, when the market does turn, you know, you've got to kind of use the habits you develop in these hard times to, you know, let them continue and keep doing the hard stuff, even when times are a lot better.
Right. So I think you and I, it sounds like we're roughly on the same page with the marshmallow study as far as, this is not determinative for the rest of your life. Things are not chosen for you when you're 4.5 years old. You can choose these behaviors to a certain extent, right?
Yeah. And so that's a good point. I'm going to kind of do this a little bit out of order. You know, one of the questions that people typically ask around this study is, okay, can you learn these skills, these traits, or are you just naturally born with them? And, you know, the more I've thought about it, I think you can absolutely learn them. And I see this in my kids, like some, you know, I've got 4 kids. You know, a few of my kids are, I think, more predisposed to having, you know, stronger willpower, being a little bit more stubborn than other kids. But I've also seen some of my kids as they've gotten older, get better at the, you know, willpower type stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So like I said about myself, you know, I'm an adult. I may not be, I may not have been born with a huge reservoir of self-control like some people are, but you have to learn it, right? You can learn it. We all demonstrate that by growing up, by becoming adults, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, and so my belief is that you could have been one of those kids in that study, you know, 4 years old, and set that marshmallow in front of you and gobbled it up immediately before the adult had even left the room. You'd eaten the marshmallow, but that doesn't mean that person couldn't later on develop those traits and also become successful. And I think the difference is you just have to focus on it, right? You have to, okay, like any other, you know, exercising muscles or anything else, you have to just work on it. You have to be conscious about developing self-control and willpower.
Yeah.
And you know, I believe anybody can do it. Like we're pretty remarkable as human beings. We can really do anything we put our minds to. And it's just a matter of putting your mind to developing willpower and self-control.
Yeah. And it's, I would say even for those who are disposed to these, you know, character traits, you're still going to have to work on it. You know, some people are born with a more musical ear, right? And they understand music better than somebody who doesn't have that, right? Okay, so you're born with that. Okay, now go play the flute.
Yeah.
Right? That's not how it works. You still have to practice it. And so maybe somebody, let's take your building muscle analogy. You're born with a genetic predisposition toward a certain body type. And let's say that body type is awesome. Well, congratulations, you're still going to have to go lift weights and go jogging and, you know, whatever else to build that up. So I guess all I'm getting at is maybe she's born with it, maybe it's Maybelline, or it's probably both, right?
I think it's a little bit of both. I can't remember who the athlete was, but I remember watching an interview of an athlete that was talking about, you know, his success in his career, super successful athlete, and you know, he was talking about how as a, you know, a high school athlete and a college athlete, that there were kids with the same amount of talent as he had, and maybe even more talented than he was. The thing that kind of separated him, that got him into the pros, that, you know, other people with that same level of talent didn't get into the pros, is because he also worked at it. Had some of that natural talent, but he put more time and effort and work into that. And you see that with a lot of the really super successful athletes. Like, it just doesn't come to them naturally. Like, they work at it too.
Yeah. So let's talk before we wrap up this conversation about how somebody can cultivate these traits. And I've got some ideas. I'm curious if you have any ideas about what that would look like on a practical level. You know, somebody says, oh, maybe I'm not as self-controlled as I would like to be. How do you develop that?
I think it's just, to me, it's choices, making choices. So you think about it, a choice I make today or a choice I make right now is going to impact me later on down the road. And so it's just having the wherewithal and the self-discipline to make good choices. And so, you know, you choose to be patient. You choose to work harder than those around you. You choose to develop that willpower and self-control so that you choose to have a better today than you did yesterday. Mm. Like you've got to just work at it. You've got to make those choices. And, you know, sometimes you're going to make the wrong choice, but, you know, you just consistently need to work at it to get a little bit better every day.
That kind of feeds into what I was thinking, which is the first thing you have to develop, perhaps, if I'm right, before you can develop self-control and willpower would be self-reflection. And so what I mean by that is if you can start looking at your own thoughts and your own actions, that's going to be the first step toward these character traits. So what I mean is, let's take a day in your life, right? So you're talking about, you head to this receiver and drop off a load, and then you're calling this broker and you're having all these interactions, right? And you're going to have to reflect after those interactions, how did I do? Or, you know, maybe it's a longer term thing. How am I doing with building my company, what have you? How is my self-control? How is my willpower? How did I do in that interaction? How have I done in the last 3 months in building the company? And assess that honestly and say, okay, I didn't do so great. I got upset with that dispatcher and that wasn't very professional. Okay. All right. So that's step one, is recognizing that, all right, here's what I should have done. And it's going to take time, you know, like building the muscles, right? It's going to take time, but you shorten the length of time between doing the wrong thing and recognizing that you did the wrong thing. And eventually that time becomes zero and it becomes negative, where you've exercised that muscle enough that you go into your interactions thinking, all right, so in the past I have had trouble with this behavior, and here's what I'm going to do in this interaction, even if, you know, something happens that would normally piss me off or whatever, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, another taking that kind of a step further is when you do recognize that, hey, I didn't do the right thing in this situation, you make that conscious decision ahead of time that the next time I run into a similar situation, I'm not going to react the same way. I'm going to do something different. So if we make the choice of how we're going to handle a situation prior to being in that situation, oftentimes it's a lot easier to make the right decision and do the right thing.
There you go. All right, Chris, any other thoughts on this marshmallow test of an episode?
I don't think so. Just to kind of wrap it all up, I just say, with the market that we're in, it takes willpower. It takes self-control to get through it. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I think we're starting to get a little bit better, but it's not going to instantly get better. It's going to be a slow slog to a better market. But, you know, if we exercise that willpower, if we exercise that self-control, we'll get through it. And once we got through it, we're going to be stronger and the future will be brighter.
Amen. Sounds good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to this. We did make it past 25 minutes, so I guess we don't need a story necessarily. But it felt like a quick conversation, Chris.
That wasn't too bad. Just right.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And once again, head to the show notes, hollandassetsllc.com. So we'll have links to those studies. You can check that out and read up on it if you've never heard of it before. It's a pretty famous study, so I'm guessing most listeners have at least heard of the initial study, if not the kind of controversy around it that came later. So you can read up on all that. All right, Chris, I think we're good.
I think we're good. We'll see you next time.
Okay, see you then.